Good morning. It has been a blessing to be here with you all this weekend. We've really enjoyed our time here. And I can say, I believe y'all are an amazing group. I've heard more medical terminology in different fields than I knew existed. But yet in all that, I've heard a common thread as well that just blessed me. That is the desire to be the hands and feet of Christ wherever it is that you are. And you know, this morning, I believe the potential that is right here in this room of making a difference in the kingdom of God is something we can't comprehend. And that to me is exciting. And I think that's what should be the theme, the central piece of each of our lives. That we're the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, wherever it is that He has called us to spend our time. My wife and I have had the privilege of hearing some of your stories, some of the things that some of y'all are facing, some decisions that y'all are weighing. Some of those things are very heavy and difficult. And this morning, I don't want to minimize or downplay that there are times when decisions need to be made that are difficult to make. And I want to especially emphasize that in light of what we'll be looking at this morning. There are times when God calls us to make a very difficult and heavy decision when it comes to church life. But I encourage you to think of a few things as you go through that journey, if that's where God has you. Pray. Pray for guidance. And appreciate what the church has done for you. And then also, respect. Respect. Now, I've heard when people make a decision to go from here to here for some reason or another, after that, you never hear a good word coming from that mouth about the church they came from. Friends, that shows me there's something wrong here. Yes, the church isn't perfect. You won't find a perfect church. But if you can't talk good about a church, there's something wrong somewhere, and it's not in the church. Yes, as I said, there are times that God leads you to that decision. But the posture of your heart reveals a whole lot of what is going on. And again, pray for guidance. Appreciate what the church has done. And respect them as you move forward. And as I said, I don't want to downplay the difficulty and the heaviness of those decisions that God calls us to at times. I want to bless those of you that are there this morning as you walk that difficult journey. This morning there will be some overlap. Excuse me. There will be some overlap of what we heard yesterday. Sometimes, if I'm doing a series of sermons like this on the church, my mind gets a little befuddled and confused at what's in my notes today and what's in my notes for tomorrow. So please bear with me this morning and get buckled up. We have quite a few notes here. I don't think we're going to get through it. But we are going to keep speeding along as fast as we can here and try to hear what God has for us. So in your mind this morning, as you go out to your vehicle this afternoon to leave, what is the most important part of that vehicle?
The heater.
The heater, okay. I'm sure we'll all appreciate the heating part of the vehicle this afternoon. My uncle tells a story of a truck and a gooseneck trailer, I'm not sure whether it was loaded or not, heading down interstate doing 70 miles an hour. Everything was going well until all of a sudden the two, left or the right, both on the, they were on the same side, two tires left that vehicle. That quick. And from what I remember, the one wheel they hadn't found for a long time. But that quick, that vehicle, that truck and that trailer was stranded. They were sitting there, the engine was idling, the drive shaft was in place, all the brake components were in place. The exhaust was in place, the engine was in place, the transmission was in place. But it didn't matter. They were sitting there and they were going nowhere. He could have got on that throttle and held it to the floor. It would have made a lot of racket, but it would not have gone much of anywhere. So what was the most important part of that vehicle? The drive shaft. The axles, the brakes, they were all still there. The engine was humming fine. If you just listened, there's nothing wrong. We tend to think of maybe the engine or the transmission. We can't do without those. Very true. You can get out and push your vehicle maybe. Some vehicles you might have to do that more than others. But without the camshaft sensor being there and telling the computer when to ignite those spark plugs, it won't even start. Without the crankshaft sensor, it might start, but you likely won't go very far. You know, sometimes those warning lights on the dash. Now, I worked as a mechanic for a number of years. It's interesting what little black tape does, right? Those annoying little lights. Sometimes they do come on when they shouldn't. But you know what? There's also times they come on and they're ignored, and it causes a lot of damage. So what is the most important part of this vehicle? I suggest to you, there's very few parts on a vehicle that aren't important. There's some that you could do without. I like to think of the church in a little bit as a vehicle. There are many, many components in a vehicle that are important. Even the heater. You know what? In 3 months from now, it'll be the AC. The AC is ignored. Well, no, it's not completely because it works when you're running the defrost. But you don't think about being thankful for the AC when the snow is flying. And when it's 100 degrees outside, you won't really think about being thankful for the heat. But in your heart, you're not suggesting that the heat isn't important. Because when it doesn't work, when winter comes around, you're making a phone call pretty quick. Or most of us would. If you would, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And then it goes into chapter 13, as we all know, is considered the love chapter. So what is in this passage for us today? I'd like for you to consider exactly where it is that God placed you. Where it is that God placed you, the brothers and sisters that are in the church with you. According to these verses, I don't think God just scattered it out there and just let people fall where they may. God has set each one of you in the church that you find yourself as it hath pleased him. He placed those in leadership in your church as it hath pleased him. And with each of these placements come responsibility. And again, just backing up a little bit from yesterday, the church is the gift that God is preparing for himself. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is not about me and my wishes. The church is not about what I want. The church is about Jesus Christ and his word. It's not about me. And it's not about you. It's about each other. It's about moving together with each other. Verse 24 says, but God hath tempered the body together. The Greek word that tempered comes from means to simply combine or to assimilate, to mix with. Get a picture of everybody doing their part in a way where you don't really even realize what everyone's doing. We need those that are willing to be out front and lead, as long as they lead according to Scripture. We need those that would much rather kind of stay in the corner and do things behind the scenes. We need those that are willing to and able to teach Sunday school. We also need those that are willing to be at home in the closet, in their prayer closet, praying for each one in the church by name. We need those that are very cautious And we need those that are willing to try almost anything. We need those that are in the construction field. We need those that are in the healthcare field. We need everyone. And just because I'm in this field does not mean I'm so much better than these over here. We're all working together for one common goal, and that is building the kingdom with the tools that God has given us. God has set the members as it has pleased Him. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that God gave you the gifts that He gave you and placed you where He placed you for a reason? It's not by default that that's just where you ended up landing. I would like for you to take a few moments and think of a name of a brother or sister in church that has just been a blessing to you over and over and over again. They care deeply for you. They always have that listening ear. They're just such a blessing. I encourage you to write that name on a piece of paper. And next time you see that person, express your appreciation for what they have done for you. And be thankful. Thank God for placing that person in the church beside you. God has set that particular brother and sister in the church with you, possibly to benefit you, because God knew you needed that person. Now I would also like for you to take a moment and think, who is that brother, that sister in church that's exactly the opposite? And maybe you find yourself going out the front door because that person is kind of back there and you just don't feel like having a conversation today. I'm guessing every one of us have a name, have a face that we're thinking of. But guess what? God has placed that person in your church as well, as it has pleased Him. And I would encourage you to also write this person's name down. And put this person on your prayer list. And pray earnestly that God would give you opportunities to bless this person. Next time you see that person, be intentional about thinking of what blessing or what strength is this person bringing to the church. And thank them for it. It's hard to throw rocks when you are on your knees washing feet. It is hard to throw rocks when you're on your knees washing feet. And I believe that is something that we struggle with in our circles. When we don't quite see eye to eye, we tend to do this number. Instead of engaging, instead of getting on my knees and willingly serve this person in some way. Next time you find yourself struggling with a brother or sister in church, remember, it's hard to throw rocks when you're on your knees washing feet. And remember that God has placed this particular member where He placed him for a reason. And maybe that reason is simply because there's a weakness in my heart. There's a weakness in my life that I need to work on. And God knew that. And He placed this individual in the church for that reason. God has placed the members as it hath pleased him. Do you believe that this morning? I believe all of y'all have gone through a lot of schooling, and you know what homework's like, right? I'm not sure if I'm allowed to give homework or not. But I encourage you to take a list. Hopefully you have a prayer list with every member of your church name on it. Take that list sometime and sit down, put some thought and time into it. And behind every name, write down a strength you see in that person. The characteristics of each person that you see as a strength, something they're benefiting the church with. And as you spend time praying for the people of your church that you attend, be intentional about thanking God for the strength that this brother, that this sister brings to your congregation. I guess I'll need to make sure and pick up a sheet in the back with all your contact information to see if you completed your homework. But we need to allow the strengths of each other to benefit our lives. We all have weaknesses. And if we can't admit that and allow someone else's strengths to compensate for that, there's going to be friction. There's going to be difficulties. Simply asking others for advice. Someone that you see excels in a certain area and you know it's a weakness, willingly go and say, brother, sister, help me in this area. And that can even be in a very day-to-day hobby activities. I've had an interest in doing honeybees for years. And here a couple years ago, I bought my first hive. And I didn't do as well at this as, looking back, I did not do very well at all with this aspect. But there's other people in our church that have had bees through the years. And what a blessing I believe I missed by simply getting my phone out like, hey, okay, so what am I doing here? Instead of asking one of the church brethren, one of the church people to come over like, hey, would you go through my bees with me the first time? Just give me some tips and pointers. What a blessing that would have been. But I didn't do that. And I think those small things can be so huge in building relationships and allowing each other's strengths and weaknesses to compensate for each other. I have a paper here that I'm going to ask Keith to pass out this morning. And I'm sure some of y'all have probably seen it. And again, this morning as I move into being very practical, everyday things that we face, how can we make this practical? Again, I want to remind that I'm speaking from my perspective. I'm speaking from the experiences of my life and the input that I have received from others. And I'm not suggesting that my perspective is always 100% accurate. I'll admit to that. And I'm here to say that your perspective on some things aren't always 100% accurate either. But it's our perspective. And each of our perspectives are important. But they're going to be different because of our experiences of life. While he's passing those out, the first one that I want to touch on here, what does the church need from its healthcare providers? The church needs you to realize that your lack of opportunities to be involved or because of your schedule has effects. And the first one of that is it has impact. And we touched this briefly yesterday. The more people that have less opportunities to be engaged, it creates more opportunities for someone else. However, you can be willing to do what you are able to do. Have an attitude of, I want to do what I can, instead of an attitude that I can't do a lot of things. Look for the things that you are able to do. The second impact or the second thing to realize is it shapes perspective. Not being able to be at every service, at everything that happens, and being there only maybe half the times, we need you to realize that there will be times that your perspective won't quite be 100% accurate, as much as you think it might be. The more you're plugged in, the more you're invested in, the more you know what's happening. I'm not suggesting that your perspective isn't important. There's two differences. Your perspective is very important. But just remember that perhaps your perspective is going to be different than some other people in church that are heavily invested, that are able to be there. Someone that was in the medical field for a number of years brought this out to me, said, just one thing that I feel like we need to remember as medical professionals is if we're not able to be at church as much, we must remember that our perspective will be different when it comes to brotherhood, when it comes to working together, when it comes to moving forward through a difficult situation at times. Says we must remember that. Two donkeys, so the story goes, were tethered each to each, when lo, they near two shocks of hay that seemed within their reach. Each sought his own, the rope grew taut, as though each would haply their utmost strength to take his share, or know the reason why. They pulled and scraped and pawed and kicked, as though indeed insane, but not by foolish stunts could they one single bite obtain. Till wearied, turning face to face, or they talked the matter o'er, and mutually agreed that they would thus behave no more. At peace, they soon one shock devoured and ate the other. How good their joint refreshment seemed, none of the other donkeys knew. Ye humans, crude and stubborn-willed, respect the common tether. Be wise, confer, agree, co-work, and eat your hay together. When I came across that picture, I thought, you know, sometimes I feel like maybe that third picture is where we get stuck so often. This is my perspective. This is what I want. And we pull and we do everything we can to pull everybody else to see it my way. Sure sounds like a lot of pride, does it not? I'm right and everybody else is wrong. If you don't agree with me, you are wrong. And I believe during COVID, there was a lot of that happening. And I'm not saying only on your part. I believe there were people that said, this is my perspective, and I have scripture to support it, and this is where I'm at, and I will not budge. You must come right here. And we had people over here saying, this is where I'm at, this is my perspective, I have scripture to support it, and I will not go that direction. And there wasn't even an ability to discuss at times. And I'm thankful that was not our experience in our church. But there's churches that it was that way. Like one brother told me, said, we need everyone to be willing to go 100%. If I come to a situation with the idea I'm willing to only go 50%, I'm only willing to go halfways, you won't meet in the middle. We need everyone to go 100%. That attitude. And it's then that you can have picture number four, where you can have profitable discussions, where you can come together and you can find a way forward. Where do you find yourself on that paper? Are you one of those that are willing to sit down? This is my perspective. I will admit, maybe my perspective isn't quite right. What is your perspective? Let's discuss this. What's a good way forward? Remember, the church is not about me and what I want and what feels good to me. It's about moving to get forward together as a group. And I think sometimes what's more important is that the whole group can come together than it is what exactly the decision is that's made. Another thing the church needs from its healthcare providers is we need you to find ways to give to the church. And you may not be able to pay back, and I don't like that term, but give back. You may not be able to give back in some way, in the same ways as the rest of the congregation. But I believe there are many ways that you can do that. It just looks differently because of the situation, because of where you're at. Just think for a brief moment, you're here this weekend, and I'm guessing each of your congregations are having services, and maybe you currently don't have something that you do every Sunday morning, teaching Sunday school or leading singing. But there are ways that you can give back. You're here this weekend, and it could be there's other people that are filling some responsibilities for you. Maybe you're not able to fill those responsibilities so they can go to a seminar or a retreat of some kind. But you know what? There's many ways that you can do that. If you're at Oak Grove, your deacon would be glad to make an announcement and say, hey, there's someone that would like to bless one of the couples here to go to the Marriage Enrichment Seminar. If you're interested in going, there's someone that would like to pay your way to go there. Or maybe there's someone in your congregation that has been investing heavily in a very difficult situation. Go to them, or be willing to send them to the Helping People in Need Seminar that happens every spring. Or maybe there's someone that's having a 20th or 40th anniversary. Recognize that. We had a person in, or there is a person in our church that we've been mentoring for a while, my wife and I, reached out to us recently and said, you know what? I want to offer babysitting for you for an evening. I want you and your wife, I want you all to just go out for supper. That means a lot. That means a lot. And now I'd like to ask all the Oak Grove people here to just put their fingers in their ears for a while. And I do want to say that I feel like our church does very, very well with this. But look for ways to support your church leaders. If you're not sure where their support is, just simply, if there's more than one of you at church that are in the healthcare field, simply get a card. Say, thank you for what you do for the church. Here's a little gift for you, for whatever, to go out to eat. Or tell them you want to provide snack at their next minister's meeting. Just express your appreciation for what they're doing. And that will go a long ways in helping them to see the benefits of what you're doing. I'm not sure where all they come from, but we receive quite a few cards or baskets of goodies with a gift card in it. And I think currently we have enough gift cards where we could take our whole family to Cheddar's and have it completely paid for. And for those of you that don't know, I have three boys that seem to have hollow legs at times. And I kind of cringe at the idea of going out to eat sometimes because of the cost. But that is one small way that you can bless those in your congregation. Show the people in your church that you really do care about them. And the time is flying along. There's also ways. There's also ways you can give to the kingdom in a broader way. And I want to be careful with this, but I really do want to encourage you to consider the mission posts opportunities. Now, I've heard the idea that, you know, I'm in healthcare and I am making a difference where I'm at. I'm meeting so many needs. I am serving where I'm at. Well, you know what? I hope that's the story about everyone in your congregation. That's supposed to be the theme of our lives, is looking for opportunities to be a blessing. But I have struggled in understanding why we have so many mission posts, and I'm talking about mission posts in general, not only the medical ones. But why is it that it is so difficult to fill the positions? I don't know. I don't have those answers. But I've wondered many times, why is it so difficult? And I believe that's one way that you can allow the tools that you have to be such a blessing in the broader Anabaptist circles. You know, there are posts that I can't fill. There are posts that a majority of the people in your congregation cannot fill. It takes people with the tools and the education that you have are the only people that can fill those needs. And I believe we are missing a huge opportunity when there are clinics that simply say, you know what, we don't have the staff, we're going to have to close down. There are needs that are no longer being met. Deep needs. And I'm not here to try to put y'all on a guilt trip. I'm not. But think seriously. Consider seriously. What does God want you to do with the tools that you have? And please hear me well. It's a need that's broader than the medical community. I want to acknowledge that. But I also want you to recognize that there's needs that a high percentage of your church people cannot meet, because it takes the education and the tools that you all have. And just to be clear, I'm not I was not told to say this, and I was not offered any benefits from any recruits that happened from this weekend. Just to be clear. Moving on. The church needs you to be willing to give input on medical questions that come up. And I know this was touched on yesterday. But I also want you to understand that simply being in the medical field, there are probably people that will expect you to know everything from why their child has an earache to what to do about an ingrown toenail and everything that happens in between. Last Sunday evening, suddenly one of my children were laying on the floor just moaning because they had serious pain in their lower abdomen. You know what I did? I'm one of those people. I made a phone call. I said, I don't know what to do here. I said, do you have any advice? And like, I don't know what to tell you. I said, well, that's fine. And after talking a few minutes, we felt a lot better. I don't know if the person really felt like they helped us much. But I had an idea of someone that understands a little bit more of what might be happening, of what their perspective is. And it gave me some peace with what's happening. But show the church people that you do care about them. As those opportunities arise, don't see it as a curse. See it as a way of blessing the people in your church. And I know that means sometimes work will follow you to church. You know, sometimes as a pastor, I wonder, where can I go to get away from my work? Look at it as a blessing, as a way of reinvesting back into the church. I was asked the question, does the church believe we prioritize our careers over church? And I really like what one, I put that question out to a number of other church pastors. I didn't get a lot of feedback on it, but this one phrase says, the church will know where the priority lies by who's carrying the burden. The church will know where the priority lies by who's carrying the burden. We need our healthcare workers to have a posture of humility. And this is probably the aspect that I heard the most about. And I believe with education comes a confidence in your abilities, in you, who you are as a person. And that can be very quickly seen as pride. Not saying it always is, but I believe it can be seen as pride if you're not very careful. But having a posture of humility in your interactions with the church is probably one of the biggest things you can do to bridge that gap. And how that looks for one person, it might look different for the next person. But this is probably the topic that I heard the most on. We need them to have a posture of humility when it comes to church life. And I think what some of them are referring to is sometimes it feels like we can get into, I'm not sure how to say this. If we have a lot of answers in one area of life. We tend to think we kind of got answers for all of these other areas of life too. But just realizing that you do have a lot of answers for people with questions when it comes to the medical field. But be willing to ask questions instead of coming with answers for other discussions. You don't always have to know everything. And this goes for everybody. This is not only to the medical field, okay? Please. But in order for a church to work together, to be able to come to the last two pictures on that sheet, we need everyone to have a posture of humility. And we need you to embrace the church. And what I mean by that, I thought of doing another little illustration here, but for sake of time, we won't. But imagine if I ask Keith to come up here and I say, Keith, you know, I just really appreciate all you do. I just appreciate your perspective on life. You do so well at this. You do so well at that. I just really appreciate your input. I appreciate. But you know, that wife of yours, how can you stand her? I mean, the way she does this, the way she does that, this thing over here, she's so old school. She's on and on and on. Would you remember the good things I... Yeah, probably not. Rightly so. So how does God feel when we just get done praying and thanking Him for all these things? But the bride of Christ that you placed me in, it's just awful! And every opportunity you have, you're degrading it. Anything you don't agree with, it's the most awful thing. We need you to embrace the church. The church isn't perfect. But we need you to look for opportunities to bless the church, not to curse the church. And it is very difficult to focus on the blessing that someone is bringing to the church when half the time all you hear is the negatives of the church from that person. And I'm going to suggest to you, if you're one that constantly degrades the church, you will not have the church's support in where you're at. Remember, the church is the bride of Christ. The gift that God is preparing to present Himself as a holy, as a glorious church. And what does my interactions do to contribute to that perfecting? How does God view it when we degrade His church? When in the grand scheme of things, those things that we fuss about is really small potatoes in the grand scheme of things. I want to leave you with two verses. Ephesians 5, verse 27. That He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. God bless you.